Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC Podcast. Today, you'll hear from Associate Pastor for Family Ministry, Chip Pope, and Associate Pastor for Discipleship and Adult Faith Formation, Greer Booker Richards. They'll be tackling the first question in our 8-week summer podcast series titled, Hard Questions, Faithful Responses. What do we mean when we say the Bible is God's Word? Chip and Greer are here to guide you through it.
Well, Chip, here we are. It's the first in our podcast series that we're going to be engaging for the next 8 weeks. And I have to say, first of all, this feels a little nerve-wracking.
Oh, it absolutely feels nerve-wracking. It's been an interesting process just trying to feel the differences out between doing a podcast, which is different than teaching a lesson or preaching a sermon and all those kind of things. It's a newer experience, a more different experience than I thought it would be.
What's been the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is preparing to not have anybody, like a crowd listening right there with you, like to just prepare. We did a little bit of that with 9 at 9, which has been a couple years, but wasn't too far off from this. But even there, there was some interaction with those who are listening, but just kind of preparing to just kind of chat with just the two of us here. It's a little bit of a different setup.
It is. And for some of you, we know that 9 at 9 was something you appreciated back during the pandemic. This is where Chip and I had this idea one day when the quarantine was becoming imminent, that for, I think, 10 days, 2 full weeks,
that's right,
which was how long we thought the pandemic was going to last, that we would have a conversation on Facebook Live every morning, and we would be done. And I think Chip told me last week it ended up being 300 episodes later.
Over 300, yeah.
That we wrapped up. So we hope that this podcast is a little bit of a nod in that direction, where we have time just for conversation. These next 8 weeks will be more kind of heavy theological questions, questions that we've also heard from our youth when they have the opportunities to ask questions of pastors. These are types of things that come up. I know when I am ushering and shepherding people into membership, these are the kinds of questions that either we attempt to cover or talk about, or that certainly come up. And then, you know, being honest, for all of us at certain times, we wonder about this. So why don't we dive in? So today, Chip, what are we meaning? What are we saying when we talk about the Bible is God's word?
Yeah, and I thought this was a fascinating question. We, of course, hear it in worship. Often it's said, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so that language of word of God for the people of God comes up quite often. Before we jump into that question, though, I'm curious to hear from you, Greer, if you have a favorite Bible verse.
Yeah, you did ask me to kind of wonder about that one. And what immediately came to mind, so that's what I'm going to go with, for me would be the prologue to John's gospel, which is a little bit cheesy, seeing as how we're talking about God's word and that's sort of how it begins. But that really is my honest answer. I think when I was in seminary, learning the poetry of that, and poetry is a language that, speaks deeply to me, to my soul. Of course, I thought about some of the Psalms as well, but absolutely the prologue to John's gospel, thinking about the creation narrative in a way that's much less, intentionally descriptive and much more mysterious. And for me, interesting theologically is where I land.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think for mine, I'd go back to the one that comes up most often in my teaching when I think about preaching, and that's Romans 8:38-39, which in essence makes it clear that there's nothing big or small, that there's nothing either in heaven or on earth. There's no powers, no principalities, no anything that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as a shameless plug, I'm using that scripture to when I preach on July 14th. And so I'm looking forward to exploring that scripture a little bit deeper then, which is also nice, also Communion Sunday. And I think that's a great connection to remembering that vast love that God has for us. All right, so delayed long enough with this question that on face value didn't look to me all that tough. And then as I dove into it, challenges started rising up, which were helpful. So what do we mean when we say the Bible is God's word? I think I'm going to start with that we're talking about that it's inspired by God, inspired being a key word here, that God inspired these writers in a unique way, that even as we know the Bible was written by humans, it didn't just appear in its fullness one day, that it was written over a long, long period of time, that it was written after going through generations and generations, meaning centuries of generations of oral tradition, that it was put together as we have it now. But even as it was written by humans, that God really does reveal God's self in these words, that God really does show how God is active in the lives of God's people in these words. So that's for that inspiration inspired by God. That we get that this is God's word. It also kind of gets us into one of the theological terms along with inspired is revelation. Like, how does God reveal God's self to us? We know that God reveals God's self in Jesus Christ and how we come to understand Jesus Christ through scripture. So that's a connection back. We understand revelation. God's revelation comes to us in the reading of scripture in the Bible itself, another nod to the Bible being God's word. And it also comes to us in the Christian community that we come to understand through the preaching and proclamation of the word, through the sacraments, we continue to hear God's word. And yet for us, you'll hear us talk about Reformed ways of thinking, Reformed theology in the Presbyterian Church as part of Reformed thinking that comes out of the Reformation, that that even the proclamation, when it's part of the community, when we are hearing each other in Sunday school classes even, that is still inspired by the Word of God, moved through the Holy Spirit, and that is centered on the Bible. So on one hand, you've got that it was inspired by God, so it's being God's Word. You also have that it is God's story, right, in being God's Word. And you have that God is the central character in this narrative, meaning the Bible.
Very helpful, a lot to consume. And I've noticed a lot of things about what you're saying using these words inspired, revelation, which I do think are really helpful for a lot of people to have a better understanding of. Makes me wonder why we don't talk about it more. To be honest, it seems really helpful. But help me understand a little bit, when we're talking about inspired, about scripture being inspired, the writers having been inspired by God, then are we somehow limiting or saying that God no longer inspires? Why isn't there more scripture? Why aren't there further books that have been added to what we call the canon or like the corpus of what we know as being the Bible today?
Yeah, and I think that's a fascinating question in part because we as Presbyterians also have our Book of Confessions, and that is constantly added to, although, you know, lately over the last 50 years, it's being added to and changed a much quicker pace, but I think it's partly because the world is changing at a much quicker pace. But, and yet the canon that we've used has remained pretty consistent over the last 1,000+ years. Some of that's at face value, though, because if you even look around the church here at White Memorial Presbyterian, it might happen if you looked around your house, we start getting various translations of the Bible. So we know that in a sense, the Bible is still being inspired by God through people as we do kind of get different ways of looking at the Bible. As we come to understand language a little bit differently, it changes. You may know that we also, the Bible that the Protestant and the Old Testament part that are Jewish brothers and sisters live is quite similar to each other. And yet, if you were to open a Bible in a Catholic church, you'd see quite a few different books of the Bible. So that's a change that's even come in the not, you know, relatively, still hundreds of years ago, but in the relatively not too distant past. Then to go a little bit more to an extreme, you've got Thomas Jefferson, who literally cut out passages of the Bible that he liked, especially in the Gospels, and pasted those all together. So you have a Jefferson Bible that's not used often anymore, but it's certainly another interesting take. And of course, you know, which may be another question for another day, God is still inspiring us. God is still a move in the world, even if our canon is not changing.
I think that's helpful to have named and to be reminded of, because it can be tricky when we talk about being people who are reformed and always reforming, yet we have this body that we call Scripture, and sort of wondering, do the same rules apply? So I think that's part of what makes this one of the hard questions. What do we mean when we say that the Bible is God's word? And, of course, sort of the dot, dot, dot would be, and why does it even matter? Where do things start to get tricky? And I think that we would all say it's not just understanding kind of the history or how this all comes to be, but it would be this bigger question of authority. So the so what being, what is the authority that the Bible then has if we're saying that it's God's word? What does that actually mean for us?
Yeah, authority. That is where the heart, when we talk about the series being hardest questions, I think that is where this question does become a bit tricky. You know, theologians have much conversation around this issue of authority. And by theologians, I mean in a very broad sense, right? Theologian being just somebody who studies God. So that theologian can be in academia, it can be in the pulpit, but it can also be in the pews and on the streets and around tables, that we're all theologians when I talk about us having conversation around the authority of the Bible. And I think we have to start with, it's pretty universal that the Bible is authoritative, right? There's no question about that.
Yeah.
I know some groups might say others don't claim that, but it's hard-pressed to find a faith where the Bible does not have a Christian faith where the Bible does not have an authoritative role to play.
And as Presbyterians, we absolutely affirm that in lots of different ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's central to what we do. It's central in Scripture, which is why our worship kind of leads in the reading and proclamation of Scripture is the kind of climax of the service. And then we get sent back out after that. We respond and get sent back out. When those are being ordained into offices of either a minister of word and sacrament or as an elder or as a deacon, one of the questions that they're asked is whether they accept that the Scriptures are the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the church universal, and that it's the unique and authoritative witness of God's word to us. And so anyone who is ordained in the church has ascribed to that belief, right, that have affirmed that the Bible holds an authoritative place in their lives and in this community. But the question then starts to begin, and this is where you'll have to hold on with me a little bit. The question starts to begin in how it is authoritative, right? A lot of this conversation has come up recently around social issues, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we accept the Bible as authoritative when wrestling with our response as a community, as disciples, to some of the social issues that are coming up. Because you can't separate those out. A lot of times we want to say, let's not talk about social issues because of separation of church and state. For one, that's not a church thing, right? That's a state thing. But also, I just haven't been able to figure out how you can, within your own kind of mindset, how you live into this world, kind of compartmentalize those into two separate areas. So I think our faith overlaps with all the areas of life and how we think about it. So kind of, I want to encourage you for a second, if there is a social issue that you're wrestling with, whether it's wrestling with the issue itself or how you can respond faithfully in the world, kind of hold that issue in your head for just a moment and think about it as we kind of go through some of the lenses in which we look at the Bible as authoritative, and kind of see how they each play out, and see if you can notice how the conversation shifts a little bit between these lenses. One of the lenses is, we call it a biblicist view, but it's a lens where when you look at the Bible, you look at it as the direct word of God, that almost supernaturally, that God it's actually God speaking in the Bible, almost like a script of God's words. The literal kind of view of that, it's in some ways where the Bible writers, those who actually put pen to paper or whatever forms of writing they used in the past, that they were almost secretaries just writing God's words down verbatim. All of these, even ones I might use, are problematic in some ways. And I think the problem with looking only through this lens, which is how a lot of social issues are looked at around us in the world today, is that it ignores the context of the Bible, right? When you put in this kind of literal translation, it ignores all that's going on around it, what was happening at the time, what was being responsive to, in the same way that if I were to write a letter to a Sunday school class, I'm doing it knowing all the events that are happening around me, right? I'm not actually just sitting down in a vacuum and writing. That's impossible. One of the funny ways that I've seen, funny may not be the right word, but I have a favorite TV show called The West Wing, which I love this show. I'm probably on my 12th time watching it through right now. Is by far my favorite show. But there's one scene where President Bartlet asks some good questions about translations that are literal to the Bible. Now, he asked them a little bit in jest, but he says, I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7, and goes on to ask how he can do that, right? Because that's what it says. It's literally four or five verses of all the rules involved with if you want to sell your daughter into slavery, what that means for you down the road. He questions about his chief of staff who works on the Sabbath, because you can read in Exodus 35:2 that it clearly says that if you work on the Sabbath, one of the punishments is death. And he kind of goes on and talks about football players and the scripture about touching the skin of an unclean animal, about the punishments that are for wearing garments that are made of different threads. If you look on the tags in your shirts and dresses and pants, how many of us, it doesn't say 100% of one material, but it's a blend. Reading literally of the Old Testament,
that's a problem.
That is a very big problem, right? And not to push too much, because we do know that we get a new covenant in the New Testament. But that literal lens in which we look at some ways can be problematic. We totally just ignore what's happening. There's also a lens that goes, I think, too far in the other direction and says it's only a historical document. That when we look at the world around us, how we treat the Bible as authoritative, that it is clearly just a historical document, that it recognizes that the languages of Near Eastern people of ancient Western civilization were used. It gives a lot of attention to their local environment and culture, to their views of geography, physics, and astronomy, but has trouble then bringing it back out that their history is also our history. And so that makes it a little bit challenging. And the third one that I might lift up, there's bunches of these lenses, is those who would say the Bible is kind of used authoritative as a private devotional text. And of course, we who believe in the priesthood of all believers, you know, we don't do anything without a committee meeting to talk about it, right? Anything that kind of reeks of just you and me becomes problematic, because we know so much of the Bible, the New Testament, parables. It's about how we live with one another, not how we ourselves go out and operate in the world. So it does have consequences, how we treat the Bible as authoritative and how we understand in today's world, because to take one of these lenses and go all in is what allows us at times to misuse the scripture. They call it proof texting, where you might take just one small bit of text and use it to prove your point, as opposed to looking at the whole, the text as a whole.
Very, very helpful. So I want to put you on the spot as we wrap things up. So for you, Chip, you've been awesome about giving us sort of the background in general, but what about for you? As you think about the Bible being God's word, how do you view it?
I certainly, the inspired by God is important, that it is more than just a bunch of people who put down their thoughts, and we just decided to declare it good, right? That the Bible does have authority and that it is inspired by God. It's God's story. I like to think of the Bible, though, and I'm trying to think who told me this image. It is not mine, but talked about how the Bible is like a thread all the way through it, that the individual stories is not what it is. It's about the story as a whole. And so when you start taking almost anything and ignoring the other parts of the Bible, is where we get into trouble. And so I really try to hold on to that. Like, how does it connect? How does a thread connect story to story? And for me, some of the questions that I might ask myself are that, like, if I'm reading the Bible in this way, is that at odds with pretty much the overarching narrative of the story? And if it is, I might want to rethink how I'm reading the Bible. In the same way, does it follow an ethic of love? Like, I really hold on to both that Romans passage, right? Nothing can separate us from God's love. But if the two greatest commandments are love God and love neighbor, I would really question myself of any interpretation I might come up with that is at odds with a loving God or what it means as disciples to love our neighbor. And that's kind of how I hold that authority. And I think equally important in it is that that thread I was talking about that runs through from Genesis through the Gospels all the way to Revelation, that doesn't end. Like, the thread keeps going past that and connects with the generations of Christian communities that leads all the way to us. And so we are not separate from the Bible. We are a part of God's story. We're not separate from God's story. We are part of God's story as that thread has woven through the recorded parts of God's story in the Bible, but through all the generations, all the communities, all the priesthood of saints that have gone before us that have connected us to the story of God's word, of God's story.
Well, thank you so much, Chip. This definitely was a hard question, and you have provided us with a very faithful response. So thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here with y'all and wrestle with these questions. And got me to thinking a little bit about what does it mean, not a little bit, I've actually done a lot of thinking about what it means to the Bible of God's word and then how we utilize it in our lives. So thanks for inviting me. It's been a great experience.
Wonderful. We look forward to hearing more from you all, and stay tuned for our next episode, which will be about the nature of sin. So we'll continue with our hard questions and faithful responses.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whitememorial.org to hear Associate Pastor for Small Groups and Young Adults, Ann Gallagher, and Administrative Assistant for Faith Formation and Small Group Ministry, Leanne Daly, respond to the question, "What is sin?"